Hey, this is Gunsully from the podcast, the Indefensible Middle Ground. This is a music show. I am very happy to be joined with Make More Animals, Ryan Leo.
Sir,
you're welcome.
It's a little noisy. We're occupying territory in Arlington right now, so it's there's a lot of traffic going by. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And I gotta say, I've seen you guys live a few times, and you guys rock. So, thank you for rocking.
No problem. Thanks for enjoying it.
So, where are you personally from?
So, I'm personally originally from South Brunswick, New Jersey, and then I came down to this area for college, and been lived in Capitol Hill for a while, and lived in Northern Virginia, so I've been in the area for a while now.
Nice. Your bandmates, are they from New Jersey or are they from this area?
Actually, everyone else is current members of the band are all from the Maryland, Virginia area.
Yeah. The DMV, as they call it,
in
Maryland.
Yeah, and even old members of the band mostly were from Maryland, Virginia area. Yeah.
Nice. This is one of those tourist questions. I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way. What bands influenced you as you were growing up?
Good question. So definitely the typical group mostly in the 90s, and so the typical anywhere from Nirvana to Gin Blossoms, wide range of popular, you know. But then also, I actually played a lot of jazz guitar. Yes, sound effects.
That's very noisy.
So I started playing jazz guitar in high school. So just all the pop jazz, Maynard Ferguson, and then I actually really started loving. I think it's a combination of jazz.
Wait, we got another one coming through here. We have another. We have another Arlington jazz noodler here. This is. They do it with the horns. If they did it with jazz guitar, that guy didn't turn his siren on until right here. Okay.
Dave Matthews. But when I saw the first time I saw Dave, there was a band called Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. That's technically bluegrass.
Okay.
But I kind of see their techniques and style were just sort of also jazz and just popular, amazing musicians that, and so it was always a wide range of music. I also, you know, appreciated Broadway shows, and so those Broadway tunes, I listened to a wide range of music, and it all had an influence on my singing and my love for music, so.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see here. I've seen you personally perform at some pretty wild gigs. I know you were just in Courthouse Social,
yes.
Which gets a little nuts. Penn Social,
yes.
A lot of social places.
Yes, it's a theme.
So do you have any really wacky stories of something that's happened in the D.C. area where you've been performing and just it all goes south or awesome in a rock sort of way?
Yeah, I think there are always moments where you think things go south, but it turns out in a rock awesomeness for sure. One of those crazy gigs was playing at a beer festival at Nat Stadium.
It's already starting good.
There's beer involved and it's at Nat Stadium and a great packed crowd.
Yeah.
As we went on and the crowd was amassing in front of the stage and getting closer and closer, the end of the night finished with most of the crowd on the stage with us, and it literally could turn and not really see the rest of my band members. We were kind of engulfed in the crowd, and then guitars started getting knocked over, and that's when we had to call in some reinforcement to help. But it was fun, a lot of photo ops and trying to jam and rock out with everyone partying on the stage with us. It's always fun if people are friendly.
I would love to see some pictures from that.
Yes.
If you have those handy. Because that sounds pretty awesome. Except if they're knocking over the power cords. So
luckily nothing was damaged or unplugged, so that's good, yes.
let's see here. I see we've noted your first gig was noteworthy with the band. How did that transpire? How did you go from meeting friends and coworkers and then just going like having a band and then just having a gig? What was the evolution?
Well, so I've always had music in my life. I played in from elementary school, played drums, I've taken piano lessons, I started learning guitar in middle school, and so it's always been a big part of my life. And then I met throughout college, I played at bars and played with some friends and jammed, but it was, still for fun. After college, I kind of was playing the same songs over and over again. And finally, actually through a coworker, his family owned a winery local in Virginia.
Nice.
And they said, we have live music on Saturday. Why don't you come play? And I said, I haven't really played in a while and I don't have 3 hours worth of music. And he said, well, start practicing and let us know when you're ready.
Nice.
So I started relearning a lot of songs, learning new songs, and eventually I started playing at this winery once a month. Then I started writing some songs, and then I started opening for friends' bands, and then they said, you should form your own band. And so the very first band I formed, kind of the precursor to Make More Animals, was Ryan Leo Trio. There were three of us. At some point there were four of us, but we kept the name Ryan Leo Trio for many reasons. And so at this very first gig, it was a place called Club Soda in Northwest, which is now a completely different venue. This very first gig, we had to book with multiple other artists. And the club was a little nervous because it was our first full band gig. They wanted to make sure they had, a good crowd. So they also booked a comedy act, which I'll say with the comedy act and music mix, I don't recommend after this experience. So they had a comedy act start off the night. My bassist and guitarist had some of their family members there. The comedy act was not very appropriate and family friendly, so that caused an interesting... They ran really late, and so by the time we got on, we were running late. Now, so we played as planned, sort of on time. The band that we also brought in to play with us was going on after. They started giving us a hard time, even though we were the ones booking it. And so one of the moments, I remember is in between songs, I yelled at the drummer from the other band and said, look, our friends are here too, because he yelled at us about friends leaving. Anyway, I said, fine, we'll play one more song, then you can come up. I turned back to my band quickly, and I shout out what last song we're going to do. And my bassist turns to me and goes, that's an 8-minute song. I go, yep, I know. And just start right into it. We rock it out.
Nice. So that's weaponizing music. Yes. That's pretty awesome. I love it. This is one of those questions that I really hate that we have to ask it, but basically any music-minded friend in the alt rock world, I gotta ask, how did the news about Chris Cornell hit you this week? Because it took the wind out of me.
It's with any musician that has a huge impact on the industry and songs and time when I was growing up too, it's always crazy to hear news like that and just think and to see again the age and how young they are and to think of the impact that they still have on music and other people's lives, and it's crazy. I mentioned a lot of my musician friends, all quoting songs and posting and kind of helping remember what he contributed. So,
well,
yeah.
And with artists like that who span decades, literally.
Yes.
Like their full range of influence is unknown and unknowable, really. It's pretty shocking. Sorry to have to bring that downer question in there. Let's see here. You are currently working full day job.
Yes.
I just stole you away from it.
Not my rocker gig.
Yes. Now, in the DC area, just as somebody who spent a little bit of time in an office and then gone out to a bar, there's such a huge disconnect just from the public standpoint of the disconnect between office and bar. What's the disconnect between Office and Rocker? Is it just so much more dramatic, or is it like something you just go with the flow of? Or is there occasionally you're just sitting in your office going, the hell am I doing it? You know, is it
a little of everything? Yes.
Okay.
I think it's definitely a disconnect, in just the mindset of being sitting in the office and then being able to be on stage and perform, but it gives me outlet from either way. So it gives me the focus, and then there's a business side to the music, you know, world as well. But I can perform and entertain and have fun, you know.
Yes.
And not that I don't have fun in work, but it is a different atmosphere.
But
there's also some nice overlap. You know, I got to present things at work sometimes. So, you know, my music side gives me the stage presence and the ability to, you know, just get up there and do what I need to do.
I like that because public speaking, number one fear for a lot of people.
Right. Yes.
There's death and then public speaking above it.
Yes.
And you're like, hey, you know, where's my mic?
Bring it on. Exactly.
That's awesome.
And
that's
so
awesome.
A lot of my coworkers know that I'm a musician, so they're usually afraid to hand me a mic at a meeting, thinking that I'm going to sing or, you know, just break into song, or if I need to stall a meeting, that maybe then they'll use me as backup.
That's awesome.
But I also do get concerns from bosses and program managers that one day I'm just gonna leave and figure out a way to keep my career in the music industry and leave my day job. So
that's pretty awesome. just let them know I will train my replacement. Don't worry.
Yes.
So I met you through a nonprofit, Team Fox Michael. Team Fox YPDC, Michael J. Fox Foundation fundraiser in the D.C. area here. So I know you're involved with charities and nonprofits here.
Yes.
What's your favorite to work with? Because I know not only did you play at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, but then you even went to one of their fundraisers.
Yes.
That involved pedaling on stationary bikes, which I did not find wildly fun. Except music note, the lady screaming out orders sounded like the guy from Rage Against the Machine.
Nice.
Come with it now.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm hearing.
Yes.
I'm like, is anybody else hearing this? Sounds like. Anyway, silly note there, but yes.
I just love to give back and have an influence as much as possible. And the fact that I can give back through music is another benefit. So when the opportunity came to play with an event for Michael J. Fox Foundation, you know, I said absolutely. There's been other shows that I've done with the band where we've charged a cover just as a donation for raising for a charity, for a good cause, we've even done silly events at certain shows where we'll have a list of activities that people can do. To do that, they have to pay money. So, for example, if they want to request that a certain song goes out to someone in the crowd, it's $1. If they want to come up and, you know, sing a few lines with us, it's $5. If they want to be that person who yells, you know, play Freebird, then they got to pay $20. You know?
That does require
yes,
a fee.
Yes.
That is a little overdone.
Yeah. So we've done stuff like that for other charities.
That's pretty funny. I like that. I like
yes.
Play Freebird.
Yeah.
That costs you $20
bucks.
$20
into the cup, please. Yes.
That is funny. Do you have to put up like a menu board for
all
that?
So we've created a menu in the past for that and listed charities that we'll be donating to, and so I haven't done that one in a while. It's fun to need to resurrect that idea. It's a great one. It's fun to do.
That's pretty brilliant. And you have an outreach where you specifically use music.
Yes.
Musicians on
Call. So Musicians on Call is a nonprofit organization that I'm heavily involved in. I've been a volunteer musician for them for about 4 years, and then within the past year and a half or so, I've joined as a volunteer on their Washington, D.C. area advisory board. So the organization is basically, was founded in 99, so still fairly young, but growing, and basically bring music to healthcare facilities and hospitals, and the main program is we play bedside for patients.
Wow.
And so we do a number of hospitals in the D.C. area, and across the country. Almost hit 500,000 patients to date, so they've been tracking and continuing to grow. It's amazing. But I play at least once a month in a hospital in the area, and you play for roughly 2 hours or so and go from room to room and play a song next to a patient at their bedside. With, you know, just the idea that music heals, you know.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's always humbling, and it's great to be there playing specifically for that person. You know,
yeah.
they're constantly getting knocks on the door for medicine or checkups or whatever, and so it's sort of a surprise when you knock, and they have to do a double take of, wait, you want to. There's a concert coming to my bed, you know, and it brings them outside, the outside world, to their room, and gives them a taste of some music to and brightens up their day.
Right. I bet that means the world to the family members as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yeah. When there's family in the room, and even the nurses, the doctors, the staff that are around that, you know, they get a lifting
right.
from it, you know, and they love to see us there too. So it's great.
Yeah. What sort of songs do you play, or does it vary?
It varies, but obviously they're hospital-friendly songs, so you know, there's a good screening to
no
make sure we play
hell.
Appropriate.
That's,
yes,
yeah.
Don't play Stairway to Heaven is not a good one either. And
you know, I didn't even think about that one. I was joking to Highway to Hell because it's like vulgar, but yeah, Stairway to Heaven would also be just so...
There's a lot of upbeat songs, but when you listen to the lyrics, sometimes they're not great. And so
everything by Third Eye Blind.
Yeah,
if you actually read the lyrics, like, oh, this every one of the songs is just, I'm in pain, help me, I'm gonna kill myself with meth. Yeah.
So I you know, some of my go-tos are Jason Mraz, I'm Yours, Rhythm of Love, Plain White Tees.
Nice.
And then there's even an original that I do that's upbeat that I play too. But yeah, I kind of rotate through a number of songs.
Nice. With the Musicians On Call thing, we're going to post their information. So if anybody wants to donate to Musicians On Call or volunteer.
Volunteer, yeah. We both have musicians and... volunteer guides, so the guides are, you know, help bring the musicians around from room to room, and you know, even that's a great way to contribute if you're not a musician. So.
Yeah. I hate to ask this too, but are the stages of the patients, are they predominantly people who are going to be getting better, or
it varies depending on where we play, and obviously just to protect the patient's background, we don't ask or pry. You know, it's simply, would you like to hear a song, regardless of their situation, right? And I've between all the hospitals I've played in, I've played for a wide range of patient ages and situations. So, you know, we play in the children's hospital in this area also, and so you get young kids to adults, and you can get retired, military and recent military. You can get folks, in all stages of consciousness as well, but it's still being able to provide that music for them is so amazing.
That's a really powerful gift.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that with people. A fun note here too on your giving back. I see you have hashtag birthday gift back. What is that?
Yes, thank you. So again, along the lines of just. Personally, I want to be able to contribute to society through music or other. One of the things that I've started doing for the past, I think going on my fourth year, coming up at the end of June, is on my birthday, any text message, email, Facebook post, I said, I want to make all these Facebook posts mean something when people wish you happy birthday.
Right.
And so I started counting. Basically, how many people posted happy birthday on my wall, or how many people sent me a text, and each year I add up that total, and I donate $1 per item to a charity of interest at the time, or personal meaning to me. I've donated to Musicians On Call in the past, so each year has grown in magnitude, luckily, and I hope to continue to expand that, but I also think I've seen some friends pick it up from me, and I'd love to see it spread just as an easy opportunity for people to help give back on their birthday, and so
I like that.
Hashtag birthday gift back.
I love it. I'm officially going to steal it just because I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and you know, it's compulsory for a lot of people just to...
Yes.
They see the thing pop, it notifies you, this is your birthday, and they send you a friend request. I mean, they send you the happy birthday thing. And I actually had somebody come up to me the other day, because if you know somebody, they'll friend you. I had a guy come up to me and goes, "Hey, you're Sully. We're friends on Facebook." Right. And, you know, I never met the guy before, but obviously we're friends of friends, and he recognized me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and so I thought, okay, in order, like you said, to make it mean something.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just, you know, a handshake, you know. Yes. It disappears after you're done with it. But that's awesome. What charities have you given to?
So both Musicians on Call, done the Red Cross. My dog was battling cancer a few years ago, and so I did the Animal Cancer Foundation. I think even tying in music, Mr. Holland's Opus, you know.
What kind of dog?
It's a Dachshund Beagle mix. Oh. He was small. Looked like a puppy of a large dog, though, because he was very tall for a dachshund.
Oh, wow.
And so it was interesting. He always kind of looked like a puppy of a big dog.
A very stocky, like, Polish sausage. Not a full
lean. But he got a little more height, you know, more like the beagle height, but long, like a dachshund, yeah.
That's awesome. Nice. Well, all right. Hashtag birthday gift bag. That's definitely going to be in the description here. You have upcoming events?
Yes, so we have a full Make More Animals show coming up on June 2nd at what's now called Craft House, which was the World of Beer in Reston, and now it's called Craft House Reston.
Nice.
So right in Reston Town Center, and Friday, June 2nd at 10 p.m. '90s rock and today's hits. Guarantee a good time.
Awesome. Friday, June 2nd, 10 p.m. at Draft House Reston?
Craft House.
Yeah.
Former World of Beer Reston.
Okay. Excellent. And we hope to see you there. Hope to see a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you.
Rocking out. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
For being on the podcast, YouTube and on iTunes here with the podcast. This is Sully for the Podcast Music Show with Make More Animals.
Thank you very much,
Ryan
Leo.
Cheers.